Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Yes. Would you say amen right there?
Amen.
Why is he good? For his mercy endureth forever. You can't outlive his mercy, amen. You can't outsin his mercy. Amen, amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Amen. We just park it right there. Amen. Amen. That'll go all the way from Atkins Road to Michigan. Amen. That'll go all the way from Indian land to Lancaster. Amen. Amen. And listen, whom he hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the east and west and from the north and from the south. One day, maybe next year, whenever we have this year when we have our anniversary, I'd like to get a state flag from everybody that goes to this church, where you originated. And just line, the real thing. And line them up here. So those people from up north can see on that camera that everybody in the south that don't belong to the KKK, and we're not unfriendly, amen? And we love everybody. And I'd like to line that up so that they can see that the Lord gathers people together from the north and the south and the east and the west, amen? And boy, he sure does. And then he says this, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. Of course, talking about children of Israel. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of all their distresses. Boy, I wish some people would quit looking at COVID and look to the Lord. Amen. I wish they quit looking at politics and look to the Lord. Amen. I wish they'd turn off NBC, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, whatever else they got on there, and just look to the Lord for a little bit. Amen. And he'll deliver us from all our distresses. And he led them forth by the right way. Man, I could underline that and preach on that all day. He led them forth by the right way. Jesus said, I'm the way. There's only one right way. That's Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. And he said, if you go any other way, you're a thief and a robber. Amen. You can't get in heaven. He led us like he did the children of Israel in the right way. Even when they were rebellious, even when they were unbelieving, even when they were unthankful, and even when they were unholy, he stayed with them and led them in the right way. Amen? And look, he'll do the same thing to us, that they might go to a city of habitation. This world is not my home. I am just passing through. I'm not setting up habitation down here. I'm waiting to be glorified, aren't you? To be translated. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, because in my Father's house are many mansions. And the NIV says many rooms. That's why it's the NIV, the not inspired version. Amen. I don't want no stinking room. You don't know where I come from. I'm looking forward to my mansion. Don't take that away from me. Amen. And if Jesus said it, who told you to change it? Amen. You say, well, in our Father's house, you can't put a bunch of mansions. You can put, hey, he can put anything he wants to in his house. And his house is big enough to hold mansions. My room, call it a room, but I call it a mansion. Amen. 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 Now, look at this. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Did you know the same sun shines on the just and the unjust? Did you know God sheds his same wonderful works on all mankind? He does. And undeserving as we are, when we're lost, he still shines on us. He still sends the rain. He still sends the spring and the summer and the fall and the winter. And the sun rises every day and it goes down every day. And thank God for His mercy and His grace and His long suffering, that God would shine on mankind as undeserving as we are. And then we got saved. And boy, there for a little while we thought we was going to be something. And we found out we were still nothing except by His grace. Amen. Amen. Just cause you're a sober sinner don't make you much better than a drunk sinner. Amen. You're still a sinner. You need a Savior. And so thank God that He might send us to a city of habitation, and we ought to praise His goodness for His wonderful works on the children of men. I used to work with this fellow out at Duke Power right here. That'll make you scared enough not to buy these new houses around the nuclear plant. You should have known that ahead of time. And, but I helped pull cable through all those, everything out there. And, never forget, I was witnessing to one of the boys, a hippie. He was a hippie. You know, this was back in the 80s, and he was a hippie. And a speed freak, if you know what that is. He shot speed up in his arms. And, man, he was way out. He was way out. And he and I was talking one day while we were working, you know, and I told him my testimony. And I said, you need to get saved too. Listen to what he said. Are you listening?
Yeah.
What's the Lord ever done for me? He said.
Wow.
That's what he said. What's the Lord? Well, what's the Lord ever done for me? I said, the first thing He did for you, He let you sit up in the bed this morning and go,
yes.
He let you breathe His air.
Amen.
He let you walk on His earth. And on top of all that, He sent His Son to die for your sins. God has been wonderful to you.
Amen.
And you know what He said? Nothing. Nothing He could say. Well, to praise the Lord for His wonderful works to the children of men, that's all mankind. Red, yellow, black, white, polka dotted, spotted, tall, short, fat, skinny, educated, uneducated, southern, northern, western, midwestern, even midwestern. That's what they call it. We call it Yankees. But anyway, listen, the Lord, look, look at verse 9. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes.
You're not going to be satisfied without Christ.
Amen.
You can't do enough to satisfy. Do you know why people overdose on drugs? They can't get enough to satisfy. You know why people drank themselves to death? Now, the man I'm named after, Thomas Roddy Sr., he drank himself to death at 45 years old. Drank himself to death. You know why he drank himself to death? He couldn't get satisfied. You know why people can't stay married? They go from marriage to marriage to marriage to marriage to marriage. They can't be satisfied. You want to know why kids are rebellious and you can't do nothing with them? Because they can't be satisfied. And the only thing that's going to satisfy us is the water of life.
Amen.
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 And He said, if you're thirsty, come and drink of Him.
Right.
He said, drink of this living water and you'll never thirst again. You'll be satisfied. You won't be looking for another Savior or a fix or a toke or a smoke or a snore or a man or a woman or somebody don't know whether they're a man or a woman. You'll be satisfied once and for all if you'll come to Jesus Christ, Brother Holden.
Amen.
You ever notice like you just couldn't never quite get enough? You ever notice that? Don't matter what it is. Whether it's water or food or entertainment, there's always just a little bit more you'd like to have. You ever felt like that? Unless it's a peanut butter and banana sandwich with a glass of milk. If you'll eat two peanut butter and banana sandwiches tonight, that's what they served in heaven right now. Peanut butter and banana sandwiches. Angel food. That's what the Bible calls that. Angel food. Go look it up in the Bible. It's in there somewhere. You eat two, I'm talking about real peanut butter banana. I'm talking about get two bananas, make two sandwiches, one sandwich out of each banana, put that peanut butter on and so just like mud in a wall or something, you know, and that thing dripping. You eat two of them and drink a glass of milk and you'll lay back and you'll go, whoo! That's why I say it's angel food. But look here. He satisfies the longing soul. That's the inner person. There's nothing on this earth that will satisfy that person.
Right.
He satisfies the longing soul. And he filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Now look at this. What kind of people are these he's talking about? Verse 10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. That's the one he's talking about, the ones that need to be satisfied. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. You know, Holy Ghost conviction is laborious.
Yes. Yeah.
It'll wear you out.
Yeah.
And he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. You remember the story of the crippled man that Jesus healed? And he put him in the... He was waiting to be put in the pool of Bethesda once a year. The angel come down and stirred the water. And he was laying there. And Jesus come up to him and spoke to him. And he said, but I have no man to put me in the water when it's stirred. You remember that?
Yes.
And Jesus said, well, be healed. Rise up and walk and take thy bed with thee. Do you remember the blind man that sat at the gate of Jericho, Jericho, and he was sitting there and he was crying, alms, alms, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. He'd never seen a thing in his life. He was dirt poor. Nobody cared for him. And he sat by that gate every day begging, trying to be satisfied. And he could never get enough, much less to live on, much less to be satisfied. And the Bible says, and Jesus passed by.
Yes.
And you remember out of all that crowd of people, all those thousands of people pushing and shoving and hollering and talking and trying to get the attention of Jesus, that one man, he said this. Well, first he said, what's the noise about? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth passes by. Jesus! Thou son of David! Have mercy on me! And out of all those thousands of people, and while Jesus is walking through that crowd, and his disciples are surrounding him, trying to protect him from the mob, and as he goes through that crowd, he stops because he heard that one man out of all those people. By the way, don't you know they was all calling for him?
Yeah.
Don't you know they all wanted something?
Yeah.
But he heard this man. In verse 12, therefore he brought down their heart with labor and they fell down and there was none to help. A man who had been stricken and put down and there was nobody to help him. And then look at verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble and he saved them out of their distresses. Now let me go ahead and tell y'all something. Nobody's going to get saved until they realize they're in trouble.
That's right.
You don't know you're lost. You can't be found until you realize you're lost.
Amen.
And a human being, this flesh right here, ever since the day that that old serpent told Eve, you eat this, it's going to make you like gods. And this flesh has been trying to be its own God ever since.
Yeah.
It's rebellious against God, and God puts us down.
Thank you, Lord.
So he can lift us up.
Thank you, Lord.
But until a man or a woman realizes they're in trouble, they're not going to call on the Lord.
Amen.
And that's why we as Christians, we're supposed to tell them. We're supposed to witness to people. We're supposed to warn them. I preached that this morning. He told that demoniac, said, go home and tell thy friends what great things the Lord's done for you. And that man went home and told it, and I'll guarantee you, people got saved. Because that man was down, and he got in trouble, and he cried out for help, and God lifted him up. And until you see that you're down, you're not going to call. So here's what we want to do. Is this thing on? I can walk around. Here's what we want to do. When our kids fall and they're little, we want to run over there and just, oh, get up. And we don't want them to cry. You ever notice that? We don't want our kids to cry. And so sometimes mothers get mad at fathers because we'll look at the little boy and say, toughen up, boy. Brush it off. Shake it off, son. We don't care if they cry, if they'll just get up and start going again. Just cry a little bit and go on. Because in this life, we're going to spend more time down than we do up.
Come on now. Yeah.
And we need to train them that you hurt. Hey, there's a lot of hurting in this life. And if we rescue them from every hurt, what's going to happen when we're not here? And there's a whole generation going on, another generation of young people in America that don't know how to hurt. They don't know what it means to be in trouble and have to look up for help. Don't get mad at me now. My mama told me, she said, Ronnie, if you ever go to jail, you'll get yourself out. Don't call me. Of course, I had a younger brother. She'd run up there every time he got in jail. But I went to jail one time as a teenager. I went one time. I did not call my mama. I did not. I was going to face the circumstances, whatever they were. And I lost my driver's license. I never told my mama that they took my driver's license. I just kept on driving. It was just grace of God I didn't get caught. But listen to me. When I got married, I packed two Winn-Dixie bags of clothes and put them in that Dodge Demon. And there was a devil driving a demon. And I put those clothes in that car. And my mama said, now you made your bed, you have to lie in it. That means don't be coming back here. Have you noticed that? And now we're doing that with prisoners. Yeah. And we do it with drug addicts and we do it with drunks. And now we do all, and we pet them and we try to hold them up. And my wife said the other day, I've been trying to help somebody that's related to me. And she said, it's like you're running around with a net trying to catch them before they hit the ground. All the time, you're trying to catch them. You run around behind them trying to catch them because you don't want them to fall and get hurt. Y'all still with me?
Yes,
sir. Is it all right back there, Billy? Everything
good?
Okay. Okay. And we're running around with a net because we don't want them to get hurt, brother guy. No. And then we lift them back up and turn right around. And just as soon as we turn around, there's a telephone call. And then you say, yeah, you gotta prod them. You gotta push them and shove them and prod them. And then as they go, you gotta run around behind them, get ready to catch them because they ain't gonna stay up. And then when they do fall, they say, Jeffrey, if you love me like you ought to, that wouldn't happen. Yeah. Ain't that what they do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you really love me, you'd give me that.
Yeah.
Well, if you really love me, you'd give me that money.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of them's in for a rude awakening, buddy.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
I had my paper route when I was 14 years old. And it was on the Mill Hill in Lancaster. And that, the hills is like that right there. And then after that, I worked at the gas station. And I worked at the body shop. And I worked in the 3, 4, 5 different cotton mills. And 3 different printing and finishing companies. Wasn't nobody running along behind me with a net but the Lord. And boy, I fail and I fail and I fail and I fail. But look, I never was satisfied. Didn't matter what it was. I was lit sitting in that darkness in the shadow of death because I rebelled against the Most High God. And then verse 12, therefore he brought me down. He brought my heart down with labor. I fell down and I looked around and there wasn't nobody to help me. And that was a good place to be. I do not regret that.
Yes. Right.
I do not regret that. I'm glad I didn't have somebody running around behind me with a safety net all the time. Man, it's getting quiet in here. I'm glad. And some things I learned the hard way, and I'm glad I learned them the hard way.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
You know why? I won't go back and do that again.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Right. Amen. Right. Amen. But I was sitting in darkness in the shadow of death, and I didn't even know it.
Yes.
I didn't know it. I figured you couldn't get much lower down than we were already. Amen. But then God opened my eyes by convicting me by His Holy Ghost that there's a lot lower I could go. And if I wanted to go, just tell Him He'd let me. But thank God that day. Thank God that day that even though I rebelled against His word and I condemned His counsel and He brought me down low in my heart and I fell down but there's nobody to help, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, in their trouble, in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. We probably live in the generation of the least thankful Christians that America's ever known. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. You know, Brother Ron, they can't even praise Him enough to come in church once a week and sing a little hymn. And though I know that there are people, when they're saved forever, it causes me to doubt a lot of times whether or not they've ever been saved in the first place. How can you know the love of God that He's rescued from darkness and death and hell and not praise the Lord? How can you do that?
Yes.
I look around and young people in our church don't even open up a hymnal and sing with us. And I think, what's it going to take to get them to sing? Brother Bill, what's it going to take to get them to stand up in front of a bunch of old people and just sing out their heart to them? What's it going to take? Oh, that men would praise the Lord. He said, oh, that men would praise the Lord and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Look here, for He's broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. We're prisoners.
Yes.
Was prisoners to our own sin and self.
Yes.
Oh, we thought we were free.
That's right.
We sang Free Bird with Lynyrd Skynyrd. And if you don't know who that is, you're probably a lot better off. Amen. I went and preached a funeral a while back, a few months back, and I made it very plain I will not preach a funeral with rock music in it anymore. And they said, well, we wanted to play Lynyrd Skynyrd Free Bird because this guy was a motorcycle rider and he was a free bird. I said, there ain't nobody free until they come to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yep.
And you know what they did? It ended up, it switched from his ex-wife to his current wife, and she didn't know I had that conversation. And I preached, boy, there was some lost, seriously lost people there. I mean, big time stuff. No, not just biker, big time stuff. Seriously lost. Sit there like this while I preach. I preached my heart out, and I preached Jesus, and I preached heaven, and I preached hell, and I preached like I was preaching to lost people because that's what I was doing. And when I got through, I gave the invitation, I led in prayer, and guess what they played at the end of the Free Bird? Ruined the whole funeral. If you die that way, you will never be free.
Right.
You will be in the bars, behind the bars of hell and the chains of sin through all eternity. You will not be free if you die that way.
Amen.
He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to children of men, exclamation mark. For he has broken the gates of brass, the gates of hell. He has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder, cut them in half. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. You ever heard this? I don't know why they have such bad luck. You ever heard anybody say that? I don't know why I have such bad luck. Well, I got news for you. There's no such thing as luck. There's not a luck of the draw. There's not a spin of the wheel or the throw of dice. God is providential. God is involved in all the acts of mankind. And if you live or you die, it is God. How you live and how you die is God. And then when you get to the other side, it's God, whether it's heaven or hell. There's no accidents. And if you got a rough life, and many of us did, it's your own fault. It's the wages of sin. And look, it's going to keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay. And in the end, if you're real smart, you won't be a fool. He said fool right here. That means God is rich. You won't be a fool. You'll cry out to God.
Yes. Amen. Yep. Come on.
Yes. I don't have any luck. My mama told my wife one day, I think we were still dating when she told me. We were still dating and my car tore up or something. And my mama told my girlfriend at the time, said, Ronnie has such bad luck. That's that dark cloud that hangs over Lancaster. That's that dark cloud. There's a dark cloud about that thick that hangs right over top of Lancaster. It wasn't luck, it was God. It was God's providential dealings working me to a point to where he could speak to me,
yes,
and I'd look up.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And he said, fools don't. Fools don't. Because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, and they are afflicted.
Yes.
Bad luck, you won't call it. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death. You get people that's dying, they don't want anything to eat. You bring out some roast beef to a man that's dying of stomach cancer, he don't want that. You know, the last few hours, few days of dying, you don't want food. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. But thank God, verse 19. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. There it is again. In their trouble. Now, I don't know why it's this hard times, preacher. I got all these troubles. Because that's the only time you're going to call out to the Lord is when you're in trouble.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. 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 I'm about to start preaching here. And he saveth them out of their distresses.
Yes.
Thank God. You ever wasted worry?
Yep.
You ever done that, brother? I hate wasting worry. Something happened, you know, one of my kids or something, or my grandkids or something, and I'll go to bed, and I might go to sleep a few minutes later, wake up and start worrying about this thing. A small thing. A little thing. I shouldn't even be worried about it. And worry about that thing till I can't sleep. And I wasted my worry. He sent his word, and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. That's where my hope is right there. I wouldn't know Jesus Christ if it wasn't for that book right there, his word. I wouldn't know about heaven. I wouldn't know about hell. I wouldn't know all these good things about God. And I wouldn't know all these bad things about me if it wasn't for that book
right there.
And these preachers in town, they say I'm the old fashioned, I'm the dinosaur. He won't use nothing but that old King James Bible. Well, I got news for you. This thing's been around over 400 years and they ain't been here 40 yet. What do they know?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And by the way, that's the book that convicted me of my sins.
Yeah.
And that's the book that converted me from my sins. And that's the book that's comforted me ever since then. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. It's his word. And I'm glad this is a church that believes the Bible to be the infallible, inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God without any mixture of error, as the old Southern Baptists used to say. They've changed that. I'm glad we still believe that.
Amen.
Because see, Brother Ron, when I go to a funeral, the only place I see comfort is in his word.
Yes.
Your brother's funeral is full of the word of God. And I see it comforted people. Now, I stand on Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But it's his word that shows me how to do that.
Yes.
So, tonight, my theme was, in the beginning was, won't somebody praise the Lord? Why doesn't somebody praise the Lord? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Amen? We ought to be the happiest talkative people in town.
Amen.
Even in Chester. Or New York. I don't know why Colleen's laughing. Would somebody praise the Lord tonight? Would you just say, praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
All that man would praise the Lord.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen. Blend is fixing to run. Y'all watch out.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise
your
holy name.
Yes.
He has helped you in your distresses.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
He has delivered you from death.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
He's delivered you from death. He's delivered you from darkness. He's broken your chains. He's broken the gate. Now he's the gatekeeper. Amen. Amen. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. I'm going to count to three and I want everybody at the same time just to say, praise the Lord. Can y'all do that? One, two, three. There it is, Lord. That's what he wants to hear right there. He inhabits the praise of his people. You say, that's Pentecostal. Baptist was doing that before the Pentecostal was ever founded in 1907. Amen. Well, that's Baptist-costal. Guilty. Guilty. Call me whatever you want to. Hallelujah. That means praise the Lord.
Yes.
You can go to Japan and say hallelujah. They know it means praise the Lord. You can go to China and say it. They know it means praise the Lord. Go to Syria and say it. And they know it means praise the Lord. All over the world, if you don't know what else to say, you say hallelujah. Let's stand. Father, we thank you. You're so good to us.